Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Record numbers of ballots have already been submitted in the 2020 general election. As South Dakotans prepare to head to the polls on November 3rd, we spend time today talking with Kevin Wooster about how people are preparing to vote and preparing to make sure other eligible voters can vote. You can find his work on our website, sdpb.org/Wooster. Hey, Kevin, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be back. Can I ask you two quick questions?
Absolutely.
Do you ever wish I were more prepared when I come on these shows? I was thinking that as I was rushing from the kitchen where I'm warming up my green tea to get in here so I could talk to you. And I just thought maybe I should be better prepared.
Do you have the tea?
I do. I've got the tea.
Then you're prepared.
Okay. Good. The other question was it Nate Wex? I was just talking a little while ago about the sports. I was working on my tea and I was kind of catching parts of it.
Nate and Craig Maddock both talk sports, yeah.
And Craig. But I think it was Nate that said 14 years ago he was a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
I don't actually resent him for that, but I was just doing the math, and 14 years ago I think I was renewing my fourth annual membership to AARP. So, anyway, colleagues are colleagues. What are you going to do?
We won't hold it against him.
No. Okay.
It's an asset, not a liability.
Yes, absolutely.
Your age and his, your experience, and so I mean that all around. And we've got tea now, so.
We do. I'm set. I'm prepared. I'm as prepared as I ever am.
All right. That's our time. Thank you so much for being... No, I'm just kidding. Let's talk about Election Day, because you have a friend who is doing something kind of unusual. But I'm assuming he's voted early in South Dakota and then is heading down to Florida. How come?
Yeah, I'm looking at the spot in my bookcase here in the den where my N95 mask used to sit. And I think probably today it is on the flight to Florida for my friend who has gone down there to help with all the poll effort, get out the vote effort. And he's a lawyer here from South Dakota, Democratic lawyer with pretty extensive experience in campaigns, loves the process, loves politics, loves government. And 4 years ago was in Florida helping to provide services to voters that were trying to figure out where they were supposed to vote. I guess if people run into voting issues, they don't have the right documents, he will help them get it, work with the local people. He can't actually be in the polling place. The observers down there, you have to be registered in that area. But he can be around outside, and then he gets calls and they would send people out and he can answer questions for those people. And in a couple of instances, I think one that he felt really good about last time was helping a guy that was really struggling with the process to untangle everything and cast his vote. And the guy was thrilled, you know, a gentleman there that didn't have much of a voting experience, but was eligible and deserved to vote. And he said that was the most exciting vote he'd had for a long time when he helped that man cast his vote. So I think that's what he's doing down there now.
Yeah, my sister's voting for the first time this year, too. And, you know, I honestly have no idea who she's voting for, but I'm so excited to help her figure out how to do it. There's something about, regardless of your political party, of encouraging people to come out and vote and helping them navigate through, you know, the maze and the confusion that it can be. When you're really engaged in the process, you forget that for some people it can be pretty overwhelming, the steps that you have to walk through. So...
Absolutely. You know, and here, I mean, I always reach, I get in there and then I reach in and I say, I do have my billfold and my driver's license, right? And I don't need anything else. And you know, I keep pretty, I change my registration in part for fun to write columns about it, but also so that I can irritate certain people with a certain registration or affirm certain people. Like for 10 years I was a registered libertarian just to affirm Bob Newlin and the work that the libertarians were doing, and I vote registered Republic so I can have a meaningful vote in Republican primaries and things like that. So I'm pretty familiar with where I am and and where I vote and those kinds of things. But not everybody is, and it can be daunting. So this is important
work. Right. Yeah. I just circling back for a moment before we go forward, did you have your N95 mask like under glass that you had to like break it with a hammer to get it out?
It's actually a plastic bag.
Was it?
I carried the plastic bag out, presented to him at the back door. He had another mask on when he came over to pick it up. And we had a conversation there at the back door, and he was very appreciative. And he was hoping to take two. And at that point, I could see Mary's N95, which was near the back door in its secure location. And I thought briefly about saying, well, there's two. No, I'm not giving Mary's N95. And we got those from a friend of ours, Lynn Taylor Rick, who is, I believe, maybe has a black market supplier. No, she doesn't. I'm kidding. but she was kind enough to share them. You know, most of the time we don't wear those, but there are certain situations where a guy that's almost 70 like me, I kind of like the N95, you know.
Mm-hmm. We've been having a lot of conversations amongst my friend group right now and church-going friends that I talk with on a fairly regular basis who are really struggling with, you know, something you and I talked about before, which is how we are talking about and thinking about older people during the pandemic, especially when numbers are reported or numbers are kind of that they feel a little cast aside right now. And it reminded me of a conversation you and I had last week. And just I just wanted to throw that out there. Just, you know, how are we talking about our elders and, you know, who is being impacted the most in this pandemic when it comes to rates of people dying and what we're losing and maybe not even talking about. So I don't know. Just wanted to say that that conversation that you and I had sparked a lot of conversations for people throughout the state, I'm guessing.
I hope so, you know, because, again, I wrote about it last week in the sub shop where the people crowd around me, younger people with an adult and two teenage-type kids and another guy and two workers who were younger and not even wearing masks while they made sandwiches. And that was one of the things I thought, do you not notice me? Obviously, if you look at me, you know I'm not wasn't a sophomore in high school 14 years ago. And if you pay any attention, and that's why I called out to Governor Noem, you know, could you help us educate people? Could you help us elevate a level of concern for people who, I have many of them are more vulnerable than I am. I'm more vulnerable for an age group and for a little bit of high blood pressure that's a pre-existing and those kinds of things. But a lot more vulnerable people out there that I feel like are kind of being forgotten in this rush to, quote unquote, get on with it. And teachers in schools and people that, you know, you can say, well, kids don't get so sick. Well, okay, how about the teachers and the staff and the people and the bus drivers or, you know, whatever whatever we're talking about? Are we callous now as we try to move forward? And
are we desensitized? Yeah. You posted and started some conversations on Facebook about the issue of you know, people not wanting to wear masks and asking, you know, what is behind that? And what sort of responses did you get?
Well, it was a one-sided crowdsourcing, as I feared it would be. And some people might say, well, that's because the only people on your Facebook pages are liberals. But I try not to have it that way. I try to encourage all philosophies on there. And I didn't get very many responses from people that said, it's my right, I don't have to follow that, the private business owner's rights do not supersede my rights. And I didn't get many of those. I got mostly people, including from one conservative guy that's one of the social media commentators I have on my sites a lot, who said, don't be stupid, it's private property, they can do what they want to. And oh, he said, by the way, be courteous of others. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Which was a great comment from a guy who isn't a big masker. But I didn't get the comments that I seem to get, the looks from these people that look cavalier about it, like three people with no mask shopping together in a store and they walk up right next to me. That's disturbing. And that's a conversation we need to have too, hopefully. And I called out last week for the governor to be more engaged in that conversation, to help us with it.
Yeah. I want to circle back to Election Day and a make sure that we don't lead anybody astray with our conversation about someone flying to Florida to help with the polls, because it's all part of a process of registering. And when we talk about November 3rd, Kevin, and now, as you know, people are going to do their early voting still. Let's talk for a bit about some of the rules and what you can and cannot do at the polling places here in South Dakota. Where do you want to begin? We
Well,
don't,
and
they,
first
you
of all,
don't need to show up and line the streets watching the polls for, let's start there.
exactly. And for my friend who went to Florida, he was trained 4 years ago. They know he's coming, they know who he is, and he goes back online and goes through a process to retrain. And this is not haphazard. It isn't just some guy from South Dakota showing up. They know he's coming. They know he knows what he's doing, and he's got a spot there. And that's the way poll watchers are at our polls. They are selected by either a candidate or somebody that's on one side or the other of a ballot issue, or a party there officially representing them, and they have rules that they follow, and they don't get engaged with people trying to vote, and they don't get in the way. And we also allow observers, apparently, and I'm less clear on that. But apparently, I can go down and stand around if I'm not disruptive and just watch people vote and not be an official observer. I wouldn't do that. I don't know why anybody, especially now, would go stand around in a COVID time and have other people going by you. And you have to follow anything that the poll workers tell you to do while you're there. And you can't just show up and talk to people and be, you won't have an official role in it at all if you just show up.
Right. Nobody gets to see your ballot. You can't
No,
take a picture
absolutely
of
not.
your ballot
No.
either. That's worth reminding people. So, and that is largely to protect people who are told that, you know, you're going to the polls and someone tells you you better vote for this candidate, snap a picture and show me that you did. That's not allowed. You can't do that. So don't post your ballot on Facebook. You
Nope.
can't campaign outside the poll. You can't wear your, you know, favorite political candidate T-shirt to the election. You can't solicit votes. Anything. You can't, any disorderly conduct you can't do. You can't make a noise or a disruption. This is a sort of a, and you know, there's been some stuff that's pretty raucous, you know, with people celebrating the fact that they're going out to vote. That's different than getting in the poll and starting a chant for your favorite candidate. You will be asked to not do that or leave. In that regard, any final thoughts on sort of how to behave on America's Great Choosing Day, Kevin?
Well, I made my choice and did my wife, I don't know, about 3 weeks ago, and it was very easy to go in. There was hardly anybody in there, and we voted. And I happened to wear a blue T-shirt with Creighton, my son's school, on it. And I thought as I was walking in, "Are you not supposed to wear blue or red T-shirts in here?" Because they say in the rule, no T-shirts, which mean, message T-shirts, obviously, go
Right.
through.
I think you can
And
wear
I
your
actually
school
had
too.
that thought. Are they going to say, "You got to go outside and put on a brown T-shirt?" But
All right.
again, I
Very
made it through with
conscientious of you, Kevin. Thank you. Wear some Hunter's orange. Do that. Thanks so much for
Yeah,
being
can't
here.
go
We
wrong with
appreciate your
Blake
time.
Warren.